Hello and welcome to another episode of The Grey NATO. It's a loose discussion of travel, adventure, diving, driving, gear, and most certainly watches. This is episode 216, and it's proudly brought to you by the ever-growing TGN supporter crew. We thank you all so much for your continued support, and if you'd like to support the show, please visit thegreynato.com for more details. Hey Jason, how are we doing? Already deep into snow shoveling season for you?
Seriously, it was like, I think last week was in the 60s here, and then today we've got a second day in a row of snow, and I'm looking out the window, and it's coming down. We got probably 3 inches on the ground now.
Wow.
And the vehicles are covered, and I shoveled yesterday. It's a little jolting. It was a little bit, kind of caught me off guard.
Man, I was out on a bike ride yesterday, and I'm looking out the window now, and it's snowing, so. All right, well, I want to hear all about what else you've been doing other than shoveling snow and presumably cleaning it off of the square faces of Land Rovers. But I guess we've got some updates for the supporter packs as well, some news, right?
Yeah, you know, as we've discussed on a couple of the past episodes, we are coming up to our, I guess, anniversary of the kickoff of our Substack supporter campaign, if you call it that, you know, where we started to receive subscriptions from people. And thank you very much. We've got such a healthy, loyal group of listeners and people that are supporting us. And we're coming up on that kind of anniversary of that. So people are probably starting to get their renewal notices for their annual subscriptions. And those of you that are doing monthly, you know, thank you for keeping up with those.
Absolutely.
But we decided to kind of add some perks, if you will, to what we're offering for our supporters. And on the, I guess if you want to call it the shop side, we are starting to, or will be kicking off on December 1st, the ability for our $100 annual subscribers to purchase additional TGN Grey NATO straps. So if you, when you signed up for your annual subscription, you were given a link to order a strap of your choosing in 20 or 22 millimeters. And if you're lamenting the fact that you didn't order the other size, or you've got a, say you ordered a 20 and you've got a Seiko that takes a 22 millimeter, well, now you have the, you will have the ability to order that other size starting in December. And we're going to do one per order. So if you ordered a 20 and you want a 22, or you just want a second 20 or whatever that the case may be, you'll be able to do that. We will have that open with a link sent to the annual subscribers in early December. So keep an eye out for that. And then we're working on some fun ideas for some more TGN merchandise coming in 2023. So we're really excited about that. And we'll be offering some level of discounting either on shipping or on, you know, percentage off on product orders to our subscribers, as well as maybe some early ordering opportunities there. So
absolutely
excited about that. And then also on straps, we, as we mentioned, we're offering a lifetime warranty on the TGN straps. So if you happen to wear one out, which is probably unlikely, we're talking like, you know, ripped holes, broken buckles, etc., you know, send us a photo and we'll happily send you a different one. So do that. And James, you have an update on Slack?
I do. I'm putting a hard line in the sand because things keep getting in the way. I will be sending out an email to all the supporters, whether you're $5 crew or $100 annual crew, before episode 217 comes out. So I guess that gives me 8 days to sort everything out and get it going. I'm going to do a little bit of traveling this weekend, I believe, at which point I'll have some time on an airplane to finalize some of this stuff. I know I've said it before. It's been a busy season, but I also feel like I've said that for the last 2 years. But the last 6 weeks have been nutty. I'm really excited for the Slack, but I also don't want to do something that I don't fully understand from like an IT standpoint and send a link that doesn't work for some people, or, you know, people don't have the right permissions and can't actually get in and do the chats and that kind of stuff. I want this to be like a smooth process. So I'm just doing my final checks and balances, and that involves speaking with a friend of mine who's done this before at a corporate level. So yeah, I'm working on it. The absolute goal would be no later than the day episode 217 comes out. So a week from when you're hearing this, if you like to listen on day one. I'm really excited for the Slack. Like, genuinely, it's something I really want. We've gotten a bunch of notices about it. I think it's going to be kind of the next phase for the crew to kind of connect and stay together and chat about all sorts of different stuff. So I just want to make sure I get it right. And I do get a little bit stressed about the tech stuff, given what's happened with the feeds lately and other things like that. So
yeah, that's really exciting. And I think it'll be great to build that community kind of on a real-time basis, where, you know, if you jump on at any given time, you might find a few other folks on there chatting about straps or some kind of adventure plans or something like that. So I'm excited for that to kick off. And go easy on us if there are a few hiccups in the early days, but I think it'll go smoothly, and I'm sure it'll be a blast.
Yeah, we're podcasters, not IT professionals, despite the fact that slowly we're becoming, right, you know, IT dilettantes. So so look, beyond the updates for the supporter perks and that kind of stuff, what have you been up to? Are you spending more time inside because of the snow?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I try to get out. I went for a hike on...
Oh, I saw that. Well, that looked nice.
On Sunday, yeah. You know, I've decided that this, and this kind of feeds a little bit into the main topic, is just getting outside. I do try to enjoy winter as much as I can. I do a lot of cross-country skiing and running, but, you know, such an easy way to get out and get some good exercise is to do, I guess, I don't know if you call it like a weighted hike or a hike with a weighted backpack or whatever. I just threw some dive weights in my Patagonia Black Hole and threw on a sweater and some hiking boots and went down. There's a park not too far from our house, about a mile away, that it's a lovely spot with some trails down along the Mississippi River. And I just did about a 3 or 4 mile hike for, you know, hour and a half and came back home. And it was just good exercise. There's some stairs to climb and some, you know, it runs along a creek. So it was really, really just a pleasant way to get out. So I'm going to definitely do more of that this winter. And then I started a book that I've been kind of anticipating for a while. When I saw it come out, I was really intrigued. And it's by Cormac McCarthy, who wrote, you know, All the Pretty Horses and No Country for Old Men and The Road, one of America's great authors, Pulitzer Prize winner. And he has a couple of novels coming out. They're kind of companion novels. And the first one that came out is called The Passenger. And I was particularly interested because there's a plot line that was kind of teased early on that involves a salvage diver who is diving on a sunken charter plane in the Gulf of Mexico. So I was really kind of keen to listen to that. But by listen, I mean, I'm actually listening to the audiobook version of it. And even though there's not a ton of like underwater action, this isn't an action thriller book by any means, there's some nice detail. You can tell he's done his homework and it's an interesting plot. I wasn't sure what to expect. And there's also a Hoyer watch that's mentioned, which is kind of fun. You know, one of those Easter eggs for us watch nerds when you're reading or listening or watching a movie or something. And so I'm only probably a quarter of the way into it, and it's a good book. So I recommend that if anyone's a Cormac McCarthy fan or just wants to give it a try. It's called The Passenger.
Yeah, it's a good time of year to find new stuff to read, for sure, right?
Yeah.
I guess a lot of what we're saying in this episode today applies to the Northern Hemisphere. So to our homies in Australia, check out our summer guide from a few months back, and maybe take a peek.
Yeah, maybe bookmark this one and listen to it in what would it be, like April or something?
Yeah, or you know, hey, pick up the McCarthy and hop into the hammock, right? Enjoy that time. It's a nice season to read as well. But I guess a lot of this will be Northern Hemisphere kind of centric in terms of our statements coming forward. But
what about you?
Yeah, from my standpoint, I might sound a little different. I've now officially given up recording TGN from the office I built to record TGN. It's been a longstanding problem of RF interference in that corner of my house. And from what I can tell, it's outside my control. It appears to be coming from the panel box that's in the garage through the, you know, it's a shared wall, so it's maybe 2 feet. I started doing some testing because we had a few really nice folk just say like, hey, there's a buzz on your audio that's not on Jason's side if I listen at a high volume. And true, you had to crank the volume up. I had learned how to suppress it months and months ago, and it appears to simply be getting worse. You can now hear it like in other headphones. Trying not to be emotional about this because it's like a massive disappointment for me that I can't sit at my desk where I have a couple monitors and a whole workflow. I'm now on the other side of my house. Hopefully this sounds better. Doesn't have a buzz, etc. But I'm sitting like in my comfy leather chair. I have my microphone arm lashed to my coffee table. It's a kind of a ridiculous setting in which to record, but I'm doing my best. If this episode sounds wonky, next week will be better. The audio quality has always been a thing I take pretty seriously, and I've just been really dismayed by the RF interference. You know, where I put my desk, I don't have an ability to put that desk anywhere else in my home, sadly. So I might just get rid of it or keep it just to, you know, store watch boxes and stuff like that. Turn it into a shelf or something.
Yeah, that's too bad. I suppose you could line the wall with layers of aluminum foil or a big sheet of steel or something.
Yeah, you'd need to do like a Faro cage to a certain extent, but I also still need Wi-Fi.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm sitting at my desk. I've still got to be able to have, like, I can't block every signal that's there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know. For a while, I thought like ground isolation would do it, but that didn't seem to work out. I tried to build a shield just for the microphone. That also didn't work. At like a separately grounded shield for the microphone. That didn't work. Then I started using some audio processing that like suppresses. Anyways, nobody cares about this but me to a certain extent. Other than that, I had to give back the Pelagos, which is very sad. I will miss it. I hope to be able to get one early next year, is how that's looking, if I can make it work from selling a couple other watches, money, that sort of thing. And then I did, in relatively similar order, a couple days before I got rid of the Pelagos, I got a different new titanium watch, which is the new Apple Watch Ultra.
Oh, it finally arrived. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's been on my wrist for a few days, and I really like it. I will say I don't like it as much as I thought I would, in that I thought it would feel like a Garmin that I didn't want to take off.
Yeah.
It's a really good multi-sports watch, and it's a fantastic smartwatch, but it has a slickness that like you can kind of only attribute to Apple.
Yeah.
And the hardware, I have flat out no idea how they make this for $800. I just don't get it.
Sheer volume.
It must be a scale thing. Yeah, it must be a scale thing, or maybe this isn't a part of their business they have to make money on.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure, but it is like remarkably well made from a titanium watch standpoint. The strap integration, all that stuff is so slick and well designed, and the rest of it. But I do still feel like I'm wearing something similar to the Garmin, where like I really love it when I'm working out, or when I want some notifications, or I want my heart rate or whatever. But otherwise, like I still want to put on the Scurfa.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been wearing it for like maybe 4 days straight. So it's probably too early to really speak confidently about it. I've used it for a couple different types of workouts. I still want to take it diving. I want to take it skiing. I'd love to take it on like a proper hike, like not around some park in Ontario, but something with some verticality, something outside of cellular range, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So my guess is over the next few months, I'll have that opportunity, but we'll see. So I would say stay tuned. At some point, Jason, you and I can do another episode kind of catching up how we feel about it. But for me, I'm like seriously impressed by it. The battery life seems okay. I seem to get like maybe 2.5 days if I don't have the on off thing, but just a couple days ago I got in the brand new Mark from Garmin.
Oh yeah.
Pulled it out of the thing, turned it on. It has an OLED screen. It's like a dramatic update if you're used to the ones that don't.
Huh.
Like, it feels really premium and it's super fast.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even fully charged. And it was like, you've got 17 days.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
a different thing, right?
Yeah.
The way that they're, what they're doing and how often it's relying on a phone. The one thing I will add, I now think that there's a case, depending on what your workload is and your lifestyle and your stress, for an Apple Watch in general. I don't think it needs to be the Ultra, but I've found the ability to have this have its own cell connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I go out of the house for a few hours or whatever, and I just leave my phone here.
Yeah.
I find that really nice, like almost luxurious. So yeah, it's an interesting product and one that I'm kind of getting used to. The other thing I picked up is an Apple heavy intro is the new AirPods Pro 2. Nice. So I've had the original Pros for a long time, and mine just were, I had them enough that the battery life wasn't quite the same. I get a couple hours. And I had shredded one of the ear cups. I like to sleep with one in, listen to something to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So that seems to put some wear and tear on them. And then in the process, I was like, well, I'm always curious about noise canceling. I love the idea that these new ones I could get on a flight to LA and they have enough battery life for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up another set and I paid for them. The Apple Watch is a loan from Apple, to be clear. I paid for the AirPod Pro 2s and I'm kind of blown away.
Huh.
I don't know how they do this. The noise canceling is so much more aggressive than the first gen that if I'm walking around my house not listening to something, I have to turn it off because it feels like one of my ears are blocked.
Oh, yeah.
You know that like feeling kind of deep center in your ear, like when you come up and you have water in your ear?
Yeah, yeah.
It's that feeling because they're removing so much from what's happening around you. But if you're laying still, like it's weird if you're moving around, if you're laying still and you just want it to be a little bit quiet, you can click these things on. And now the inverse of that is it's just as aggressive with the transparency mode.
Huh.
So if you click it into transparency mode, I swear like my footsteps get so loud that I start walking more carefully.
Oh, really? Okay.
Huh. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's absolutely like a bit of a 10% of a hearing aid.
Yeah.
They're really, really impressive things. Like, don't get me wrong, they're not cheap. I think I paid 329 Canadian for them, something like that.
Yeah.
But if you only want one solution, you don't want cans like big, like the Bose, the Sonys that we've talked about in the past. Really compelling for one option, assuming you're on the Apple platform.
Yeah.
They're really clever. And if you think that they cost a little bit less than the Sonys or the Bose, I'm fairly impressed. Yeah.
I like my AirPod Pros. I don't know if I've got the twos. I don't. How long have those been out?
A couple months.
Okay. I don't think I have the twos, but I really like mine. In fact, the one interesting use of mine is the Land Rover has almost no soundproofing and it's just a big aluminum can. And so when I drove back from, I went diving in Milwaukee this summer and I drove down there, interstate the whole way and it was loud. And I listened to an audiobook going there and a different one on the way back, good five and a half hour drive. And I put it in noise canceling mode, which, I suppose I might get some emails from people saying, oh, that's dangerous and whatever, but it wouldn't prevent you from hearing a siren or something like that. And made a dramatic difference. It made the drive much more pleasant. It was just less exhausting to have that loud road noise for 6 hours each way. So it's turned out to be kind of a nice use for it. And yeah, I always fall asleep with mine. I just listen to an audiobook and miss like four chapters while I'm dozing.
Yeah, off. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point, I need them to do is build an algorithm into my Apple Watch so it knows when I'm asleep, so it pauses my podcast.
Oh, man. I'm sure they could do it. Yeah, heart rate, respiration.
Yeah, probably, right? The thing's tracking my sleep. It's definitely doing it. But I listen to like really old versions of podcasts that I like. Like, I'm not committed to, say, catching up on hundreds of episodes of some comedy podcast.
Yeah.
But I do like that the moment I put them on, I'm listening to what they say. I stop thinking about things that didn't work out today or what I have to do tomorrow or bills or whatever it is that keep people up at night, the gamut. And I just fall asleep so much faster.
Yeah.
And because these things weigh nothing and they fit nicely, when they just fall out while you're rolling around or if you half wake up and take it out and put it on your table, like, it's fine. You're not breaking them. You're not seemingly hurting them. I mean, aside from the rubber ear cups, which it took months for me to shred one of them. But now I have a bed set, my pros, and then I have my life set, which is like the Pro 2s.
You know, one quibble I have with these and the previous AirPods is, and I could probably adapt this with like a dab of nail polish or something, is they're white. And so if they fall in the bed sheets and you have white sheets, or heaven forbid I'm, cross-country skiing wearing them and one drops in the snow, it's like, I'm just never going to find it.
Oh, it's hopeless. Yeah, it's gone. There's some companies that will sell you colored versions. They're essentially painted.
Yeah.
Painted units. So maybe if you decide to go to the Pro 2s, you could check out one of those ones. I think and I can't think of the brand at the moment, but I like MKBHD, he has black ones.
Oh, okay.
Which I think are kind of cool. But yeah, they are only offered in white.
Yeah.
And that's not always the most convenient. It's great when you drop them on like a normal floor.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, it's been sort of an audio and Apple heavy week. So that's kind of what I've been up to, trying to fix this audio sound and enjoying some new earphones. And
yeah, right. So that's what you're wearing today, the Apple Watch Ultra?
So yeah, I've got the Apple Watch Ultra on, and I'm wearing it this time on the orange Alpine Loop strap, which I've come to really like. Mm-hmm. If I bought the watch and had it as my own, I would go with the green, but the orange is definitely inoffensive, certainly very sporty. I have the other one. I have the yellow dive strap and this sort of gray with a yellowy green accent for the trail strap. They're all really nice.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not super sure there's another step is like when you buy it for $800 or whatever, it includes one of those straps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. The straps.
Cool. I'm not sure how they hit this price point. Yeah. 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 They're nice.
Yeah. I've got the same set of straps as you in the same colors. And, the trail strap is like so soft and comfy. It's kind of my favorite to just wear, but I like the look of the Alpine Loop and the rubber strap's cool. I mean, it was great for being in the water in Bonaire or something, but it's the one I wear the least,
It has like an Ichapod vibe.
Yes,
the rubber strap when it's on the watch. Like, and the watch already has sort of an Ichapod, Dieter Ram sort of thing going on.
Yeah,
for very many obvious reasons. But yeah, I like the straps. I'm impressed by the watch and curious to know what you've got on.
Yeah, I've gone completely the other direction. I've got the a CWC Royal Navy. This is the automatic version. This is the diver. It's got a date. It's a 2004. Version. It's got the tritium dial still, so probably one of the last years of tritium dials for them. And I've just got it on a, you can only wear it on NATO or a pull-through strap because it's a fixed strap bar. So Yeah, I pulled this out. It's semi-related to my final note today. I'm in a certain vibe these days that I'll talk about later. But yeah, that's what I'm wearing today.
Yeah, that's a great watch. Those are killer. I still absolutely adore the quartz one that you sent me a while back, and get lots of wear out of it. Yeah. They offer a lot of bang for the buck and a killer style for sure.
Yeah, nice. Well,
right, you want to get into the main topic?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, we were talking about this just a couple of days ago when we were cooking up a topic for this week, and as I said at the top, I've just got kind of blasted off guard here by this this winter weather. I mean, it looks like mid-January outside right now as I'm glancing out the window at the snow falling, and kind of looking down the barrel of at least here in Minnesota, you know, it'll be like this until at least mid-March. So we're talking 4 straight months. You get similar weather there, and a lot of our listeners do as well in Scandinavia and Northern Europe and throughout North America. So we thought we'd talk about kind of how to survive winter, not just gear and clothes and stuff, but just overall, like what are some of our hacks for staying happy and healthy and having fun in the winter?
Yeah. So back in May of this year, for episode 193, we did great summer gear, watches, clothes, EDC, and more. And this is sort of the same idea, maybe less on watches, because I feel like winter's when you can wear pretty much any of your watches.
Yeah.
Unless they're so big they can't slide under, you know, a jacket cuff or something like that. Which, awesome. That makes it a great sort of summer option. But yeah, we wanted to break down some of the stuff that we like. We both live in places that have pretty harsh winters. I'm sure there's people listening who are in really tougher spots. Like Toronto, really, it can be hit or miss, but February is usually pretty gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Minneapolis, like, it can be gnarly for 5 months.
Yeah, it's it gets to people. I mean, I posted a picture of a Land Rover covered in snow yesterday, and somebody's like, "Oh, you've kind of confirmed my decision not to move to Minnesota." I'm like, it definitely isn't for everybody. I mean, it's I've lived kind of in either here definitely or in Wisconsin my whole life, and so I'm kind of used to this. But this was sort of the first year that I was lamenting the end of summer and fall. I mean, I used to be a much more of a winter person, I think. We'll see how this winter goes. But I can see how as you get older, like some people are like eyeing, you know, places in, I'm not sure about Arizona or Florida, but just warmer places. But we'll see. Yeah. So this episode should help.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of my favorite things about Vancouver was the winter was pretty mellow.
Yeah.
And it was pretty short. Like, sure, it was rainy, but let's face it, it was basically always rainy.
Yeah, right.
But I remember, I think the first or second year I was there, the winter was like winter proper, like where it was freezing, like below 0 Celsius and with some snow was like 6 or 7 days.
Right.
If you can drive somewhere to go skiing, but mm-hmm. you don't have to live somewhere that has snow and salt on the road and you have to shovel it.
Yeah.
Whew, that's a good mix.
Yeah.
That's a real good mix.
Yeah.
And that's not what we have here. I live on a corner in Toronto.
Yeah.
And neighbors on both sides that should not be shoveling snow. So I have 4 sidewalks to shovel when we get to it.
Yeah.
And it's great exercise. And it's seldom so cold that I don't go out there in a light layer and shovel. And it's fine. But there's always that 1 or 2 times a year where there's a ton of snow and you have a bunch to do and you don't have an hour to shovel
mm-hmm.
snow. Right. You know what I mean? And then at that point you go like, why here?
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Yeah.
And not somewhere that's a little bit easier when it comes to snow. But
the upside, I think, of winter, and I was, when you mentioned Vancouver, as I mentioned last week, I've been heavy into watching Alone, and now we've kind of gone back to a couple of the first seasons, and they're up on Vancouver Island where, you know, rain seems to be the thing that they're contending with, you know, feet of rain are falling there. And I think the same kind of goes for dealing with rain and dealing with winter. It is an opportunity, and to put a positive spin on things, it is an opportunity to like go deep into like the gear side of things, or just the, you feel particularly smug if you can get through it like and be happy and dry and warm. And I think that's what winter offers. You can, you know, summer's like very minimalist, like you can wear the same pair of shorts and kind of mm-hmm. cycle through t-shirts all summer long. But in winter, like, you know, you wear a proper, you know, you get a good jacket and you're like happy with the one you bought if it really works. And I think that's
for sure
part of the fun of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, maybe start at the feet and go up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Good way to go. So I think feet's actually a good place to start, because like if you've spent any time shoveling or even, you know, walking outside, like the cold kind of seeps up from the feet upwards.
Absolutely. Yeah. I also have poor circulation, so I go a step further when it comes to feet and hands.
Yeah.
I just like, especially, I think growing up, I got used to it. And then I spent nearly a decade in Vancouver and then going the other way coming back, like I just find like my feet can be cold when it's not even that cold out.
Yeah.
Not so much in a boot, but like walking around my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still a big fan of the Blundstones with the shearling linings and then really good socks.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
If we're talking like negative 20 or colder Celsius, so like approaching the point where Celsius and Fahrenheit meet.
Yeah.
I really do like those foot warmers.
Like the chemical ones that you kind of break and then, yeah.
But yeah, I do the shearling linings for the Blundstones. Really good socks. And then if it's like legit cold and I'm going hiking, snowshoeing, that sort of thing, I'll probably throw in those warmers.
You know, speaking of those shearling insoles, I remember you recommending those last winter or the winter before. And this year I was like, you know what, I'm going to get a set of those. And then it occurred to me, like, I don't have to go to Blundstone for those because there are a lot of aftermarket kind of fuzzy or shearling or fluffy insoles for boots. And I think what my hesitation was all along was, I tend to wear like orthotics in my shoes to kind of give a little arch support.
Sure.
And I thought if I put the shearling on top of those, it's going to just be too thick and my boots won't fit properly.
It'll
just be too tight. So I've been looking into finding some kind of fleece orthotic insoles or really thin shearling or something that will allow me to kind of use both or kind of get the same benefit using both. But yeah, I mean, in and out of the house, kind of going shopping and things, I tend to wear my Blundstones a lot because they're pull-on and I'm always coming in out of sloppy weather and want to leave them by the back door and whatever. But if I'm in and out, taking garbage out, fetching firewood, shoveling snow, I've got a pair of Bogs boots. Bogs are these, they're like these high, kind of shin-high or almost knee-high neoprene and rubber kind of heavy boots that you just sort of pull on. They've got kind of these grab handles on the side.
Oh, yeah.
I wear these things like, I would say probably every day, multiple times a day in the winter, just going in and out of the house. And they're great. They don't really have insulation to speak of, but your feet stay entirely dry. And they're kind of bulky enough that I can wear, you know, my thickest socks. And you know, I've had these, you know, out on, you know, when I was ice diving or spending any time on a frozen lake or just tromping around, you know, outside in deep snow. And my feet have stayed really, really warm. And I think if I actually put like a set of shearling insoles in these, I think they'd be really toasty. And I recommend them for anybody that just needs to leave a pair of boots by the front or back door and pull them on. They're kind of like, you know, wellies on steroids. They're just kind of big, heavy rubber and neoprene pull-on boots. And those have served me really well.
Nice. Good.
I also have a pair of Red Wing ice cutters, but they don't make them anymore. So I hesitate to recommend them. They were these kind of wool-lined,
pretty incredible boots
that Redwin made, but they don't seem to have those in their lineup anymore. So I'd hesitate to.
I wonder what they replaced them with.
Get people. It was probably a very limited market. You know, wool lined Red Wings. So. I just don't know, but yeah, if you can find a pair, some kind of weird closeout or secondhand or something, I recommend those.
Yeah,
what are you doing for socks? Like, do you have a go to, or is it just like the thickest camp socks you can find?
So for socks, I really like, there's kind of like, it's not a great store, but it's also not a bad store depending on what you want to buy. But in Canada, we have a store called Mark's Work Warehouse. And like, if you want to buy sort of Carhartt adjacent stuff from a variety of different brands, Wrangler, Kodiak, like all sorts of different stuff, they have it. And then on top of that, if you're kind of good on their website, you can get weird deals where they buy clearance stuff. Like I got a pair of Helly Hansen mid GTX hiking boots for like $70. From them a while back. So like $50 US.
Huh.
So you just have to be like kind of sweet with their website and figure it out. But they make a range of like really simple wool hiking socks. And I just have a ton of those.
Yeah.
And so that's usually the route I would go. If I need something like specifically warm, I prefer a two-layer approach with a liner sock, kind of like you do when you're going like glacier travel.
Right.
And at that point, like Darn Tough or like the Hiker GX stuff from MEC, I have a handful of that in a couple different weights, and I'll layer whatever works in the boot that I'm wearing.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But that's typically the route that I would go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. I kind of do the same. I'll do like a liner sock and a thick wool sock. But then I also kind of want one of my hacks that I've done for years is I have a pair of, I think they're called Sealskins neoprene socks. They're really thick and heavy, and they're kind of oversized. And I pull those on over everything. And, I don't remember why I got them. I think I got them for kayaking in cold water. And they, you know, if any moisture gets in your shoe or whatever, they kind of keep your feet dry, or at least if they get damp, they still insulate, and they're just thick and kind of impermeable. And those work really well as kind of a last layer that you can then slip into some oversized boots. So, yeah.
So moving on, I guess, to pants.
Right, right. Do you wear a lot of like base layer, like long underwear kind of thing?
I do. I did more when I was cold water diving.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have a bunch of the Polar Tech T3 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like perfect by my estimation. You could wear it under jeans if you want.
Yeah.
Assuming your jeans aren't too tight.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's T3 layers that I have. So it's the stuff that's like not so thin that you feel like you'd rip it if you wore it under shorts on a brisk day and, you know, walked through some bushes.
Yeah.
You know how like sometimes the merino stuff is so thin, you're like, well, this has to go under another layer. Otherwise it'll tear on anything it touches.
Yeah.
This is a little bit thicker than that. And I guess being Polar Tech, it's synthetic. It's like an entirely synthetic. It has an elastic cuff, an elastic waist.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like super comfortable and they are like disturbingly warm.
Huh.
But I wear them less because I bought those Eddie Bauer lined Sherpas or the Guide Pros.
Oh yeah. Aren't those great?
they're like snow pants that you could honestly like almost go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like not a nice restaurant. You're still wearing snow pants, but
yeah, yeah.
Like you could do almost anything in these things. They're like, you can sit in the car and not be uncomfortable. They're not too super bulky. They're not crazy expensive. My wife and I each have them. We picked up a newer pair for that camping trip last February in the snow, and they're just like, they're perfect. They're,
yeah.
Like I said, they're not too expensive. They're crazy warm. They wear like normal pants.
Yeah, I'm wearing them mine right now, actually. I mean, I've got two pairs of these, and they're just like just around the house in the winter. Like, we don't keep our house crazy warm, but like it's not frigid, but it's like they're not too warm in the house or like in a restaurant or shopping or whatever you're doing. But, you know, to go out and shovel or just bum around in the snow, and especially if you put like a base layer on underneath, like you're set.
With a base layer, it's like they're crazy hot.
Yeah, and that goes back to what I was saying about kind of feeling smug when it's, you know, 20 below and you're the guy outside like whistling as you go for a walk around the neighborhood, and like everybody's like looking out their window, who's this nutcase out there? It's like, well, I've got a base layer and these Eddie Bauer, you know, lined Guide Pro pants on, and those are great. And then if you ever can find a Duluth Trading Company, I know they do a lot of online ordering, but we've got a couple stores around us here that sell stuff, and it's really reasonably priced. I would even say it's a little less expensive than Eddie Bauer, or around the same price point. And they've got a lot of really good stuff. They've got a kind of a sub line of products called Alaskan Hard Gear, and they do kind of that workwear style, you know, Carhartt stuff, but also like a lot of, you know, nylon, you know, bib pants that are fleece lined and lined jeans. And then Duluth Trading has like its can't remember what they call it, like fire hose pants. It's made of that like canvasy stuff, and they make some good options. And then in terms of like base layers, a brand that has been around forever that I kind of ignored. I think I used to have some stuff, but then last winter I placed an order with them because it's just so affordable, is Terramar, Terramar. And, you know, you can go to, you know, Patagonia and get like their Capeline layers or, you know, Polar Tech stuff. But Terramar is sort of an affordable option for, you know, base layers and zip necks and long underwear and socks and gloves. One thing I will say about it is it's not like the high quality that'll not pill. Like I've noticed everything gets kind of pilled and kind of fuzzy looking after a few times, you know, wearing and washing, but it's plenty warm. I wear it for, you know, running and skiing and stuff like that. And that's a good option for people that are looking to not quite spend as much for a couple of good base layers.
Yeah. I mean, the base layer thing is weird because you do get what you pay for at a certain level, but there is a question of like, how often can you use it? Especially the winter grade stuff.
Yeah.
I will say that as good as these guys look, and I'm now interested in picking up from Terramar, I bought a handful of icebreaker stuff when I lived in Vancouver. And when I say handful, like probably 6 or 7 shirts of different weights, long and short sleeve, a zip, a pullover, and then this gray sweater. If you remember in my wrist shots, occasionally you'll see a gray sweater that has a red stripe at the cuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like it's indestructible. This sweater is 7 or 8 years old. I can get stains out of it.
Yeah.
And goodness sakes, is it perfect? I get so excited when it's fall and like cold enough that becomes a whole layer.
Right.
And that in a vest, that in a nano puff vest, like you can be out in the cold if you're moving, for sure.
Yeah. Good shovel work.
Wool's definitely worth it. Right. But I would say that definitely consider something like these Terramars, or I assume kind of like the Polar Tech stuff,
mm-hmm.
which I got at MEC. So I assume it's something similar is at REI.
Right.
Don't spend a fortune on something if you're like, if you want to go outside in the cold once or twice a week, like just buy something that makes sense to your budget and spend the rest on snowshoes or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Good pick. Terramar. Neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Outside of, I guess we go to like tops. So we already talked a little bit about base layers and then these sweaters.
Right.
I'm not sure that we could talk more about stuff like a Patagonia Nano Puff. great gift. Great time of year to pick one up for a friend if you don't have, like if you've got one and you're good. But I use them as a mid layer frequently under
mm-hmm.
a shell.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not quite like, it's not the same as wearing like a puffy, a traditional puffy under your shell. Like you don't want to be negative 40 in the wind.
Yeah.
But like if you're using the shell because the snow's kind of wet and it's negative 10 and you're walking or you're shoveling or whatever, like you can definitely get away with a light Nano Puff as your mid layer.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And it's funny, you know, since I kind of lost weight over the past year, my Nano Puff vest and that nice Nano Puff jacket that Oris gave us on a ski trip a couple of years ago.
Oh, sure.
Everything's gotten way too big for me. And I'm actually genuinely excited to go and like buy a new Nano Puff and see what, like, you know, colors they have or whatever. And especially with that, that really good news about Yvon Chouinard kind of giving away his fortune and kind of what Patagonia's, you know,
makes it easier.
Stand is in terms of environmentalism and things like it makes mm-hmm. me want to support the company. And yeah, the Nano Puff, I think, is as we have branded it in the past, a perfect product.
The other thing I will speak multitudes of, and if you're in this climate, the climate that we're talking about, you probably don't need me to tell you to get one, but a fleece full zip is worth its weight in gold.
Mm, yeah.
Don't buy one that's too big. Don't buy one that's too small. That's why I'm not going to recommend a specific brand. Every brand you can think of makes a fleece full zip.
Yeah.
So that's a zipper that goes all the way down to the bottom. It's a fleece jacket, but it's meant as a mid layer.
Mm-hmm.
It's soft. It should compress nicely. It should wear like a fitted sweatshirt, so it can go under whatever else you want to put over it. Right. Yeah. Mine is from Mech. It's Polar Tech. I swear it's 12 years old. Yeah. Like I've had it for so long.
Yeah.
It's worn nicely. Sure, it's pilled, but it's a blue fleece with like a simple. I literally just took it off because I was getting too hot sitting here. It's sitting at my feet.
Yeah.
It has a jacket pocket, has two waist pockets. It's got internal like glove flap pockets mm-hmm. if you want to tuck a glove in. And I absolutely love it. If I could buy another one in gray today of the exact same thing, I would not question whatever they wanted to take from the credit card.
Yeah. Yeah.
I highly recommend this. Like especially if you've just moved from one climate to another, your inclination is going to be, how do I buy the Canada Goose giant parka right. that can keep me warm in Iceland, the rest of it?
Yeah.
Just go slow with the stuff that like can help you go to the car to get something for 5 minutes when it's negative 20.
Yeah.
And it's one of these layers.
Yeah.
Like, and these are also really nice where you're driving for a couple hours. It's the holidays or whatever. You're going to see family. And it's like a something that can deal with the change in temperature in a car nicely.
Right.
So there's a couple of these things where like, yeah, you spend a couple $100 and you could have it for a really long time. And that's in the Nano Puff world, but also like a nice fleece. I don't think I'm saying like nice, like, oh, go buy from some super expensive brand. I just mean, it just has to be nice enough. And I think with fleece, it's how it fits you.
Yeah.
Cause you still want to be able to move around a little bit, but you don't want it like bulky.
And everybody's got fleece, like every brand you could think of,
yep.
you know, Duluth Trading, Eddie Bauer, Mech, REI.
Eddie Bauer has some great Eddie stuff. Bauer, I've seen like for 50 or 60 bucks.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a staple. Yeah. That's a definite yep. go-to. And if you want like a slightly elevated look from wearing Polar Tech, I'm a huge fan of these kind of commando style wool sweaters.
Same. You've got me on
the ones with the, you know, they've got like reinforcement on the shoulders and on the elbows. And, you know, I've got too many. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to even count them. But the one that I got from L.L. Bean a couple of winters ago, they call it their commando sweater. And it's 100% wool, you know, minus the patches on the elbows and the shoulders. The thing wears like iron. I mean, it's just a fantastic sweater. It's a little big for me now, but it's super warm. It looks good. It's very classic mm-hmm. looking. And I checked recently, or maybe I got served an ad somewhere on social media, and it was, I think it's still under $100. It's like an $80 or $90 sweater. And, you know, if ever I post something I got from, you know, Triple Lot or from you know, somewhere else, people are like, well, you know, you can get the LL Bean one. And I'm like, yeah, I know, because it was the first one I got when I wanted to kind of mimic the look of that sweater that James Bond wears in No Time to Die. from Enpeel, which is, you know, got cashmere in it. It's a very, very much a luxury product, but the LL Bean one's like a close proximity, and it's that's a great choice as well for something that looks good and is plenty warm. I hike in it. I've shoveled in it, skied in it. It's great.
Yeah. The one that I wear a ton is I have a version of it that doesn't have the support, like the shoulder pad.
Yeah.
From Triple Aught Design. That's a Henley.
Oh yeah.
And that's basically perfect. It's a great sweater.
Yeah.
And then the one I wear a ton, but it's actually, you have to consider where you're going, 'cause it's so warm, is the Alps and Meters.
Oh, I've got that
It's too. Beautiful. Yeah, I absolutely adore it. It has a fantastic chest pocket.
Yeah.
It's built really beautifully. It's made from an incredible material. It's gorgeous, but it's so warm.
Yeah.
I love wearing it outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely a fan of the Commando sweater, but I have a couple like ski or alpine sweaters, Commando sweaters from Alps and Meters. And they're indestructible. Sure, they're expensive. Nobody's saying they're not, but they're really nicely made. They wear nicely. The materials, you know, you can get stains out of them, things like that. Like I've been impressed by their stuff for a long time.
And certainly those can be outerwear in many situations. If you even if you put like one of those base layers underneath and that, and then like a nano puff, like I think you could probably get down below zero, well below zero, and be comfortable if you're somewhat active. But
dude, if you put that Alps one under a shell,
yeah, oh my gosh, yeah,
you'd be too hot to ski.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, or snowshoe.
Gosh. yep
yeah, no, that's a jacket on its own, and they just look great too.
Yeah So assuming you do need a jacket, what are you feeling this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm we're spoiled at this point. Last year Narona sent me a couple different jackets, a new shell, a big puffy jacket. So it's Narona, but like I didn't pay for that.
Yeah.
They were kind enough to send it.
Yeah.
The stuff is really nice. My previous stuff would have been Patagonia, an Arc'teryx shell. I have a Burton shell that I skied with for a while. Really, really nice. But the Narona stuff is in my mind, in the same vein as what you're getting from Arc'teryx.
Yeah.
Like highly technical, the best possible materials, probably designed to last longer than you'll fit it.
Yeah.
In most realms of reality, depending on what you do, but you can definitely tell like they're taking it pretty seriously. The quality's pretty nutty. Again, I didn't pay for it, but at this point, if I knew I needed a shell, they would be in the running with a brand like Arc'teryx. And I don't know that there's a lot of brands I respect more than like the quality you can get from Arc'teryx.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you just need a shell, sure, Eddie Bauer's your better deal,
right?
As they are with pretty much all of these things, and I'm sure there's other like second tier brand shells.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking like top tier, before you get into the Alpine, the crazy Alpine stuff that like North Face makes.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about stuff that's like, you want to ski in it, you want it for terrible snow, you want like a proper shell, Gore-Tex shell, then yeah, like Arc'teryx is way up there in my mind. And the Narona stuff that I've had an experience with is just as good.
Yeah. I got a Canada Goose jacket years ago on a press trip. It was actually a gift from Lange and Zona, and you know, like fitting of Lange. I mean, it's a very expensive, very swanky jacket, and I wore it for a number of winters, and it's hands down the warmest piece of clothing I own. But since I got that Narona down jacket, I think it's the same one you got. This massive puffy thing, like that I think that's actually unseated the Canada Goose. It is incredibly warm, and Narona is a brand that I think it's making inroads in the US, but a lot of people aren't familiar with it. And since we kind of, you know, connected with them and they sent us a few things to try out, like I'm such a fan of that jacket in particular. And I've got a pair of their hiking pants that I really like too, but yeah, super warm. A jacket that is on slightly, I guess, less warm, but more versatile than that is from a company called Westcombe. That's actually a West Coast Canada based, I think Vancouver area, British Columbia. And it was founded by a guy or two that used to work at Arc'teryx, and all their stuff is made in Canada. And many years ago, I got a lightweight, really lightweight down jacket of theirs called the Cayouche. And I'm looking at it, they still sell it. And it's incredibly packable. It weighs absolutely nothing. It's almost like a nano puff, but a little bit puffier than that. And, you know, other than some like holes in it from, you know, sparks from a campfire or whatever, it's just been
always the fear, right?
Yeah, it's been indestructible. It has like these stretch panels along the kind of the side of the torso and on the underside of the arm, and it's just so comfy. And I just kind of keep it by the back door, and that's what I kind of put on if I'm just, you know, running out for something or going to the store. It's certainly not formal at all. It doesn't look dressy. Mm-hmm. It's not even as nice looking, I would say, as a Nanopuff. And mine is like bright blue, so it's a little less versatile. But yeah, I recommend Westcomb if you're looking for like a, you know, brand that's a little bit less known or a little bit smaller, and you want something, you know, super high quality made in Canada. Westcomb is the way to go. So
yeah, I mean, as far as jackets go, I think like it's to some level it is like pick a budget,
yeah,
and then look for deals.
Yeah,
tough time of year when you're listening to this to find the deals on the jacket.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you absolutely need one now, buy it in the spring.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, if you're like at a certain point, if you, let's say you ski a lot or you have an activity that takes you outside a lot, the jacket is an absolute investment in that activity.
Right.
So I would say like try and understand what you need. But if you want something casual, don't be afraid to buy a casual product.
Yeah.
Like the Eddie Bauer stuff has a fantastic warranty. It lasts a long time. I don't think you have to have an Arc'teryx to go get groceries and enjoy a winter festival and go for, you know, snowy walks around the neighborhood with your kids.
Right.
They're a really nice product, and by all means support the brand, but don't necessarily buy something just because you feel like the best one's going to be necessarily warmer. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of a difficult thing to measure. You want the best one, the system that best represents how you're going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. What about on your hands? I'm on the hunt for
the hardest for me.
Yeah, I'm on the hunt for a new pair of gloves. I've kind of skimped on gloves over the years. I'm like, well, I can get another winter out of these, but they're really getting threadbare, and my hands are getting colder these days. I don't know if I've lost weight and it's just I've less fat in my fingers or something. But yeah, I need a new pair of gloves, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I have, because I have cold hands.
Yeah,
I have like 10 pairs of gloves depending on what I'm doing.
Right, right.
I have a set that I got used to running in because I know like, oh, my hands are cold when I start my run. Then once I'm going, I just need this like very light layer. They're black diamond. They're meant for like doing rope work.
Yeah.
And I absolutely adore those. But then they're not quite warm enough when I'm on my bike because of the wind,
mm-hmm.
which I learned a couple days ago when it was like about zero.
Yeah.
And I'm okay in zero in shorts. And like I have an Arc'teryx like pullover synthetic like micro fleece. It's like it's t-shirt thick, but sure. It's super warm.
Yeah.
And then it has a really deep front zipper so you can let heat in and out really easily. It's a fantastic product. I quickly realized that my bike ride was only going to be 20 minutes, not 40, because of my hands.
Oh,
like I
yeah.
got to a point where like I was having trouble manipulating.
Yeah.
And I just thought like, why did I not bring a pair of gloves? So I'm still sorting out gloves for the bike that are just right. If I'm just kicking around, I'm such a huge sucker for those. And you look like a 5-year-old, and I just don't really care at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Those wool gloves that have the flap that covers your fingers or doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like if I'm trying to do something, put a kid in a car seat, move something in the car, maybe dig something out of a toolbox in the back of the Jeep or whatever you're doing, manipulate keys, I don't want to take my gloves off.
Yeah, yeah.
So those I still find very convenient. They're still made by a company called Thinsulate,
mm-hmm.
and I have a couple pairs of those I like. And then when you get into the warmer stuff, man, you really got to decide like what are you touching with your hands, because like the best ones are those ones that kind of have like chameleon hands or just full-on mitts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a sucker, man, that I'm at the point where like I'm looking at heated gloves.
Oh.
Like that you connect to USB.
Yeah, Gashani has a pair of those from, I think, Rossignol makes a, you know,
oh yeah,
make ski gear, and she has a pair. And the problem is we'll go, you know, out to the ski hill for 3 hours, and, you know, after an hour, they're just not holding their charge, and they're not staying warm enough. So that's been a bit of a disappointment. So I'm sure there are other brands and better ones out there, but that's a good call. And then the other brand of gloves that, and I always look at gloves as something you'll have for many years. And so I'm not above, you know, spending a little bit to get a decent pair. And Hestra is a brand that I see pop up a lot, and they're nice looking, and they have a lot of different kinds of gloves. You know, I've got like these dressier, like brown leather gloves that have a little bit of insulation inside that like you can drive in and like wear out for dinner and stuff. But
yep,
they're a little bit too specific in their use. And I think like a nice pair of like leather Hestras that are a little bit warmer, I think would be, they would serve me better. So we'll see. I've also got a pair last winter. Again, I think it was before this ice diving outing, which was going to be on a very cold weekend. I ran over to Fleet Farm, and I bought like a cheap pair of those big chopper mittens, you know, just suede or deerskin leather with a big gauntlet underneath. But there's no dexterity at all. Like they just don't work for anything except like clapping, you know, you look like a mm-hmm. seal. But yeah, I think everybody should have a pair of those. Maybe just like leave them in the car
yeah.
in case of emergency.
Yeah, I also like with those ones, you can, if we return to those little heating inserts, you can put inserts in the fingertips of those.
Yeah, good point.
And that makes a huge difference for me, like how long I can stay outside. And
yeah,
I think a pair of mitts makes a lot of sense. So that's probably next on my list.
Yeah. Caps, I mean, what do you say about caps? Like caps are, you know, it's more of an aesthetic thing for me because like any cap on your head will kind of trap the heat, I think.
Yeah, I have a couple from Pedro and Taylor. Very simple, like merino style. They're synthetic, but they're like that merino style, like toque. We call that a toque up in Canada. And then the one I actually wear a ton is my wife handmade me one.
Oh, nice.
A nice blue, kind of a blue ribbed watch cap.
Wow.
That like actually fits and isn't scratchy on my forehead and all that kind of stuff. If you want a thicker version of a simple style, Kill Hubris has some nice ones. I have one of theirs that's pretty good. But I'm kind of with you. Like I want to wear the one my wife made me because that's what I like. It's super comfortable and it looks good. And you can roll it up 3 times or you can have it more so it's over your ears. There's lots of options there. But beyond that, I'm a big fan of actually using your hood. I'm always blown away by like how cold it has to be for a Canadian to actually put their hood up. Just has to be. That's the last stage before they're going like, I'd just rather be hungry. I'll stay home and be hungry.
Yeah.
Then go to the grocery store.
I don't know if it like is left over from childhood, but people are so resistant to using hoods. And then when you put it up, you're like, oh, what a relief. It makes such a difference.
Warm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I would say is I find that the other one I really like is having a buff.
Oh, yeah.
They're so inexpensive. They make a great gift around Christmas time. You can leave them around your neck and then not do the whole like, oh, is this the right outfit for a scarf? Which scarf with which jacket? Like sometimes I just don't want to deal with that kind of stuff. And then I like that. If it's crazy windy, you can pull them up, get them over the bottom of your ears, get them over your nose.
Yeah.
That's just a nice, simple product as long as you don't rely on glasses.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Which we all learned during the pandemic that
poor
folk who have glasses, really, their face coverings become quite limited.
Right.
So I feel you after dealing with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of my mode. Yeah. What else we got? We could probably buzz through a few of these. I think that's kind of the main stuff. You ever get the cleat things you put on your boots? I've used Yeti tracks before.
Yak tracks?
Is that what they're called?
Yak tracks.
Yak tracks. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good.
I have.
Inexpensive.
I used to use them on my running shoes. And then last winter when I was getting into running more, I actually bought a pair of Ice Bug cleated running shoes.
Oh, I remember you talking about
these. I swear by those. Those are, in fact, it's already time to break them out. This week. But I swear by those. But yeah, Yak tracks are great. Sometimes I just throw them on those bog boots if I'm going to be out on a particularly icy day, like shoveling or something. But that's a good little hack for not slipping.
Do you go to entirely different sunglasses? Like I know, because you enjoy the like traditional Varnay style, like glacier glasses. Do you switch when it's like very snowy out?
Not so much unless I'm doing something specific. Sometimes, you know, I used to always wear ski goggles when I would go skiing, like put them up on my helmet, whatever. But I have this old pair of glacier glasses I got when I climbed Mount Rainier from Gilboa. They were called their Explorer glasses. They still sell them. And I think a lot of the you know, top mountaineers I see in pictures are wearing them and whatever. And they came with side shields, which I never put on. But they're almost too dark, but they're fantastic in bright sun and a lot of snow.
Yeah, I'm always interested in those ones with the shields and everything. When I went and did Baker, it was recommended to have darker sunglasses that are glacier rated.
Yeah.
And boy, was that a smart thing. Like I have very sensitive eyes, but blue eyes, right?
Yeah.
And I always have sunglasses on, even on days where you'd go like, it's not that bright, dude. I am always curious about those ones. And then just recently I saw Persol makes like a round set that has the little leather covers on the ears and the centerpiece.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll put them in the show notes. I can't remember exactly what they are now, but they're in a few different colors. And of course, you can remove the leather bits and they're just kind of like a roundish sort of frame with a double central bridge.
Yeah.
I do like that idea. I like the idea that you can remove them.
Yeah.
But I think the last one to talk about is the vehicle.
Yeah. What do you do? Do you do anything to kind of get ready for winter with your Jeep?
My big thing is I don't really change much. Snow tires, I think, are exceedingly important, especially if you commute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snow tires actually make a big difference. They're not a hoax.
Huge difference.
No one's trying to trick you.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I have to get in arguments with people on Instagram, or for a little while I wrote blogs for Progressive Automotive, the insurance company in the States.
Yeah.
And had said that, like, you know, even if you have a four-wheel drive vehicle, like snow tires will make a difference. And the understanding, there seems to be this underlying disconnect in physics where people believe that four-wheel drive means you'll stop faster.
Right.
Put snow tires on. You still have time to do it. On top of that, it's the easy stuff. The stuff that I kind of think you should have year-round, but definitely for winter, put a blanket in your car.
Yeah.
It can be like a blanket from your house. If you end up in a snowy ditch and someone can't see your car, no one saw you leave the road, and let's say your phone's not working or your phone's dead.
Yeah.
Invest in an inexpensive roadside kit. So if that does happen, you can walk up the berm and put down a reflector so that somebody will stop whose phone has their power, whose phone has power or connects or can drive to the next spot and call for you, right?
Yeah.
Just something to let people, so you can make a marker to say, like, this is where I am, you know, whatever it is. Something reflective is smart.
Right.
We've talked about this before, but those like jumper packs, those NOCOs, those will also charge your phone. So you get, it's $100 that could literally save you, theoretically, again, depending on where you live, your life.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't get me wrong, that's a bit extreme, but who knows? I don't know what kind of roads you drive on. You got to plan for the fact that at some point you might leave that road and not have enough cell phone coverage, or you know, a weak electrical system means that you can't get your car started when you parked at a friend's house and it's very cold out, and then you wait 2 hours for a tow truck that costs a bunch of money to just to give you a jump. Like, just plan ahead a little bit. These things are $100-$150.
Yeah.
The next one that always like kind of is wild is just have a flashlight in your car. The NOCO is a flashlight, so there's two for one, but have a flashlight just in case. Mm-hmm. It gets real dark at winter. It gets dark really early.
Yeah.
And finally, I highly recommend roadside recovery. Mm-hmm. It's not that expensive anymore. I think CAA is like $130 a year, and they'll come and tow you.
Right.
And then if you're one phone call away when that bad thing happens. And look, if it happens in the summer, you just kind of sit there.
Right, right.
You know, you look at Instagram on your phone, or you call a friend, or maybe your phone's not working. You take a little nap. You wait for whatever, or you walk for a while. But like walking 20 kilometers to get a tow truck in the summer, kind of not a big deal, all things concerned. I don't know. Do you want to do it in the winter? What if you didn't bring the right boots?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nah, just like a little bit. It's that ounce of prevention thing. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to take like a ton of time to do it, but I would be very remiss to say that this isn't something I start to think about.
Yeah.
And then lastly, and this is my dad, you know, coming through, but check your fluids before you leave on a long trip. Like if you're driving a couple hours to go see your family, make sure you have enough washer fluid. Make sure your tires are at the right, like air pressure, like just a few simple things, stuff you could do at a, like you don't have to do it in your snowy driveway. Drive to the gas station when you're getting gas.
Yeah.
And just make sure that like not something very simple that's going to cost $2 at the gas station, air, washer fluid, that sort of thing, isn't covered.
Right.
It's like a very small pre-flight checklist that I know you probably don't have to think about in the summer, but could make a big difference in terms of just headaches in the winter.
Yeah.
That's my rant.
Yeah, those are good points. I've got my appointment for an oil change and then having the winter wheels swapped onto our Volvo on Thursday. I wish Perfect. That I had done it last week because I was out running an errand yesterday and just on our standard all season tires. And boy, it was slippery. I mean, I almost slid through a stop sign. And yeah, the winter tires make a huge difference. The Blizzaks that I put on, they're great. So
anyways, like I said, that's my rant.
Yeah.
So I think that covers like gear, things to do outside, that sort of stuff. But we did mention that there's another side to it, which is like how you approach maybe being inside more often from a health standpoint or a mental standpoint or an activity standpoint. And we have a few notes for that as well. So
yeah,
you want to get into that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mentioned at the top, you know, just listening to or reading more books this time of year, and that's kind of a no-brainer. But lately I've been emboldened to kind of take up, you know, fiddling with watches a little bit more with some rudimentary tools. I know when we talked to Marshall from Wristwatch Revival, we both got kind of excited about the possibility of doing some light watch modding or just, you know, tinkering a little bit. And I think that's something I want to do a little bit more this winter. It's very mindful work. You can do it sitting at your desk. I already have like a cheap pressure tester. I know you have the timing device. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, case back removal stuff. I've got a hand tool. I bought a crystal press that wasn't very expensive. Like a lot of the stuff you can get pretty cheap, and the price of entry for something like tinkering with a Seiko or something is pretty low. Like you can get a lot of like secondhand, broken, whatever watches off of eBay and just use them for practice. And I plan on getting into that a little bit more this winter. I think that'll be fun.
I love it.
You know, learn a new language, play an instrument, you know, stuff like this that after a few months, like you're getting proficient, you feel good about yourself, and then spring comes and, you know, lo and behold, you've found something to occupy your mind and keep you from going a little, getting cabin fever all winter long. And then I think just getting outside and embracing the season, like instead of kind of fighting against it, you know, we talked about all this great clothing that'll keep you warm. What about getting a pair of snowshoes, or if you ski, like just getting out to ski more often, you know, even camping, like if you have the right gear and maybe you have a friend that's experienced in something, cross-country skiing is a fun sport to pick up.
Yeah.
Kashani and I will just take our camp stove and we'll like go out, you know, to a local park, fire up the camp stove, watch some birds, boil some water and make a cup of tea. And it like adds this like bit of adventure to the middle of what would otherwise be kind of a drab winter day. And sometimes it's these little things of every day, just getting out. And also that sunlight that you get, even if it's through clouds, can really boost your mood, which I think is so important.
No doubt.
I think cooking too. I mean, you know, when we had Gashani on and she gave a few tips about, you know, some curries or roti or whatever, like,
oh, sure.
We still get requests from people saying, hey, can you, you know, do you have any good resources for that? And like, I keep saying, let's do like a little YouTube channel where you just cook a few things and we put up a couple of videos of how to make some things in 5 minutes. And
I love it.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we won't. But I think just like, you know, learning how to make two or three soups that you can come back to time and again over the winter, or, you know, curry is a great like winter food. It's kind of warming and smells good and tastes good. And, you know, even if you're not into cooking, like this isn't something that is beyond people's abilities. It's just a matter of watching some YouTube videos, getting a book, a few ingredients, a decent knife, and off you go.
I think that's great and probably a pretty good starting point. And I would say probably the rest of this can go right into the comments or the Slack within a week's time.
Yeah, true.
You can do it, James. And let us know in the comments how you approach winter, maybe a couple of your favorite things, or what you plan to do this winter to kind of fill the days when you don't go outside or when there isn't quite the same type of adventure and that sort of stuff. Or if you have a big adventure on the books, we'd love to hear about that too. I'm very much hoping that the spring includes a snowshoe sort of hiking trip through Algonquin.
Oh, nice.
If we can make the timeline work out for it. And I think it would be great to do that in the snow, as I've been up there, you know, in the summer.
Yeah.
And aside from the mosquitoes, it's lovely. So we'll have to see. But it's always nice. It feels like a nice time of year to make little plans.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Well, you want to get into some final notes?
Yeah. I started watching. I peeked at the link that you put in. I think yours is an appropriate place to start.
Yeah, so mine came from Justin, actually just this morning. It was lucky because I hadn't quite decided what I wanted for the final notes. And then Justin sent this clip from, it's a whole program, it's 40 plus minutes, from YouTube all about Dick Prenicky. It's called At Home in the Wilderness. It's part of a series from KTVA called Frontiers, from what I can gather. So this feels more like a news segment than anything else, but it's quite long. And it's all about his history in getting to Alaska. And then once he got to Alaska, there's the story we already know, building the cabin, living there for 30 years, et cetera, et cetera. But then now it looks at his effect on conservation in the area, how his cabin has become an attraction. You can take a plane and take a tour of it with a ranger and all this kind of stuff, and kind of the modern context of Lake Clark Park and Dick's cabin. And I watched this pretty quickly when Justin sent it in. So a huge thank you, Justin, for sending it. And it's like a really sweet, simple, nicely produced look at Prenicky and his effect on the world, and how it's not just us that are kind of like loosely obsessed with this guy and think that he kind of represents something special from his era to what he did in the late 60s. And then the fact that these videos have survived, and there's a bunch of footage in there of him actually speaking, which I thought was pretty cool, because of course in Alone in the Wilderness, it's narrated based on his texts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I highly recommend this. Like I said, a really nice suggestion from Justin to send this in, but it's called Frontiers, Dick Prenicky, At Home in the Wilderness. I really liked it. It's like a solid, calm, sweet home sort of 45 minutes.
Yeah. I watched about the first 10 or 15 minutes of it, and I'm eager to get back to it. I never get enough of Dick Prenicky, and I think he's one of these guys, or it's one of those stories that I come back to time and again when I'm feeling kind of caught up in, you know, the trappings of the world, or frustrated with, you know, how busy I am, or stresses of every day. It's like, you know, here's an alternative view at a much more extreme end of the spectrum of ways to live, but one that kind of grounds you to watch this and realize what is important and what can be done and how you can scale back. And I realize coming after, you know, an episode when we're talking about gear and that sort of stuff, I think, you know, he lived with what he could kind of carry in and build. But I think the vibe or the ethic that he espoused, I think, is one that we embrace philosophically. And I think it's just so admirable. And the other thing I was struck by is he embarked on this adventure of a lifetime, if you will, for 30 years at the age that I am right now, which was very striking to me. I mean, this wasn't something he set off to do at age 25.
I was really struck by this as well. Sometimes you forget.
I'm 52, and this is when he left, you know, his life in the lower 48 behind to kind of go up and build a cabin from scratch and live there for the rest of his life. And I think that was very poignant to me. It kind of struck that, you know, you can kind of do anything and start whenever you need to or whenever you want. So that's a really great recommendation.
Yeah, he did a full reinvention. I think the video is really nice. And it's a reminder that, like, do you need to leave society entirely and go do your own thing in the middle of nowhere? No, probably not. He did.
Yeah.
But I think most people could just learn little pieces of that.
Right, right.
Thanks again, Justin, for that. Jason, what have you got?
Yeah, I've got a series that came out recently on BBC, and you can watch it through their iPlayer. Now, technically, this would not normally be available outside of the UK, but I really wanted to watch this, and so I found a way to watch it using a VPN that
yeah, sure.
kind of put my virtual location somewhere in the UK. And I had read the book, I probably recommended this a year or two ago, written by Ben McIntyre, who's one of my favorite nonfiction authors. And the series is called SAS Rogue Heroes. And it's about the formation of the Special Air Service back in the early 1940s during World War II. This was the British Special Forces Unit that was kind of founded as kind of this covert group of unconventional warriors / commandos who, you know, started out by, you know, parachuting into the desert in North Africa and then raiding Nazi airfields along the coast, the Mediterranean coast, up through Libya and Egypt. And the book was outstanding. I would actually recommend reading the book first, but I've already done that. So I think the series, I was a little hesitant to start watching it because I had read mixed reviews that maybe they kind of watered it down or kind of made it a little bit too flashy for palatability for most people. But I really enjoyed it. The acting is great. From what I can tell and what I've read, the authenticity of what they portray is pretty spot on. They do some anachronistic things like putting like AC/DC rock music over some of their exploits, which seems kind of a little jarring sometimes, but I think it sort of works. This was a series that was created and directed by the guy who did the series Peaky Blinders. I haven't really watched that, but if people kind of know that, they kind of know the general vibe or this guy's style. But it was fun. It was a fun watch. It was 6 episodes, and I kind of blasted through them over the weekend here and there, you know, get up early in the morning and I just pop in my AirPods and watch it on my laptop.
Nice.
And, so yeah, if you're in the UK and you can see this, I recommend it. If not, and you have the ability to kind of pretend you're in the UK and stream this, check it out. SAS Rogue Heroes on BBC iPlayer.
That sounds great, man. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book, so maybe I'll start with the book.
Yeah.
Why not add yet another one to the pile?
Yeah, right.
It is winter after all.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, that was a good episode. I mean, I realize we're only like mid-November talking about winter, but you know, as I look out the window, I mean, it's here and it will be soon for, I'm sure, a lot of our listeners.
Absolutely. And the other thing I wanted to ask just before we finish this episode is, do all of you listening want some sort of like a gift guide for 2022 episode, like something we should do in the next week or two? We've done them in the past. They're always like seemingly popular episodes, but I don't know if it's something that people would want considering how much we've talked about product in general over the last year. Let us know in the comments. If we get a few comments saying like a gift guide for 2022 would be great. We'll probably divide it up by price points and we'll go from there. I think that's what we've done in the past. So if you think you'd like that, let us know in the comments on Substack. If you want to be part of the comments, you don't have to pay anything. You just need a Substack account. If you want to support the show, that's $5 a month, gets you the Q&A, or $100 a year, which also gets you a selection of either a 20 or a 22 millimeter strap with the TGN sign buckle, a sticker, etc. And then both of those get the Slack and the other benefits we talked about at the top of the show.
All right. As always, thanks so much for listening. If you want to subscribe to the show notes, get into the comments for each episode, or as James said, consider supporting the show and picking up a TGN signed NATO, visit thegreynato.com. Music throughout is Siesta by Jazzar via the Free Music Archive.
And we leave you with this quote from Theodore Roosevelt, who said, "Courage is not having the strength to go on. It's going on when you don't have the strength."